going to ask you, please, open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. It's on page 872 in my Bible. I don't know if that helps you. Lamentations chapter 3. Who wrote Lamentations?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, are you sure of that? Well, there's no biblical evidence that he wrote it, but there's a lot of historical evidence. The ancient Jews believe that Jeremiah did it. Even some of the early church fathers accepted that Jeremiah was the author of this book. But you can read through the whole book, and there's no indication that Jeremiah actually wrote it. There are a lot of similarities between what we see in Lamentations and the actual book of Jeremiah. The prophet. And so there's a lot of things that Jeremiah knew and wrote about in Jeremiah that are kind of highlighted in Lamentations. So anyway, to say all that, it's circumstantial evidence that Jeremiah wrote it. So hopefully I didn't mess with your faith at all, but at least you know that we don't know exactly who wrote it. But really, with a name like Lamentations, though, what do you think the theme of the whole book would kind of be? You think it'd be kind of a cheery, joyful kind of a book, right? Named Lamentations. Jeremiah was prophesying during a very dark time in the history of Israel. And even toward the end of his ministry, I mean, his ministry covered decades. And toward the end of his ministry, Babylon had already conquered Jerusalem. And taken captive many of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But God had Jeremiah stay there in Jerusalem, even though a lot of the other people left, to try to keep King Zedekiah straight. But when you look through the book of Jeremiah, you see that Jeremiah's life and his ministry, in my opinion, had to be one of the most difficult ministries anyone had ever had to endure. This man went through so much for the cause of the Lord. And what we have in the book of Lamentations is his divinely inspired records, his impressions, and his instructions regarding that time. Now, follow with me as I read the first 19 verses of Lamentations chapter 3. And as I'm reading this, compare what Jeremiah is describing to your year last year, or this year, 2025. See how they compare. He says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath, his being God. He, God, hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood, which is poison. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I think Jeremiah would have been one of those guys who would hesitate to say, what else could go wrong? Or if he had ever heard anybody say that, you know, he'd be the guy to say, oh, don't say that. What else could go wrong? Jeremiah had a lot of people that hated him. You read through the book of Jeremiah. He was greatly hated. He suffered much at the hands of hateful people. And so he probably had very few close friends, associates. And it's amazing to think that this man's ministry spanned decades in the history of Israel. And the question that came to my mind was, how does a guy, or how do people, serve God year after year after year while experiencing such harsh conditions? How do they keep doing it? And I think that we all kind of know, and it was kind of even mentioned tonight, but really the only way that we can do this is by focusing. Really, focus is what makes or breaks us spiritually. And that's the case here too. Notice verses 19 and 20 again. He says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That last phrase in verse 20 where he says, talking about his soul is humbled in him, it isn't referring to possessing a spiritual humility, right? Sometimes when we see that phrase, we think, oh, that's a good thing. Right, that he experienced this spiritual humility because of his circumstances. That's not what he's saying here. When he, verse 19, remembered his afflictions, it didn't produce this spiritual manifestation of biblical humility. What Jeremiah is saying is that when he called to mind all the things we read in the first 19 verses, when I called to mind all of those things and I rehearsed them and I thought about those things, his soul was brought way down. That's the idea of humility, the humbling, right? There's a difference between being humbled biblically and being humiliated, right? And being brought down low. What he's saying is, when I thought on all of the wickedness that I perceived came from God, my soul was brought down. My soul was brought very low. And when he focused on that, he was discouraged, he was depressed, and he was just down in the dumps. And isn't that how it goes? When we focus on the awful things that we had to endure, when we rehearse those things in our minds and we start to think, oh, how awful that was. And we start to think that we were kind of the victims. And that really it wasn't fair that we endured those things. What happens is the same thing. Our soul is brought down when we focus upon those things. It drains us. It drags us down spiritually. And folks, if we stay there too long, you know what kicks in? Our fight or flight instinct. And what happens is we just say, I got to get out of here. I got to quit. I can't handle this anymore. Now, I would imagine that each one of us here has had some experiences in 2025 that could potentially affect us this way if we chose to just rehash those circumstances over and over again. And when you rehash the circumstances, you also bring up the emotions that came with them, right? The hatred or the anger. And what happens is we allow ourselves to be dragged down. And every time that happens, the devil's happy. Because we are ineffective for the Lord when we're down that low, when our souls have been dragged down. And we allow that to happen. And Jeremiah is admitting here, and I like this, when the men of God reveal to us that they sometimes have it rough too. But sometimes they deal with things not appropriately. And so Jeremiah admits here that that's what happens when he chose to remember his afflictions. When he chose to rehash his afflictions, it brought him down. But listen, you can't be a faithful servant of God for decades with that kind of an attitude. I mean, you just can't stay there, can you? And so notice Jeremiah's contrast to verses 19 and 20 in verse 21, beginning in verse 21. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." There's a contrast there. Verses 19 and 20, there's no hope. Why? Because he's just focusing on all the bad things going on, right? I'm just focusing on all those bad things, and there's no hope. But he said in verse 21, he said, "This is what I do. This I recall to my mind, and when I recall this, it gives me hope. It gives me hope." And so he chose to think on this, and it gave him hope. What is hope? In the Bible, folks, hope is a confident expectation. It's not a pipe dream, right? Like I hope I win the lottery, you know, something like some wistful thinking that way. When the Bible talks about hope, it talks about a confident expectation based upon the character of God. And so he said he instead of focusing on all of the evil that he experienced, he focused on what he calls this in verse 21, and when he focused on this, it gave him hope. And he had this hope that regardless of his afflictions, he had hope that he was doing the will of God. He had hope that God would be with him and enable him to keep on going day after day after day. And this, verse 21, is what he thought on, and it brought him hope. Well, what is the this? He tells us in verses 22 and 23. Look at him. He says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You know, instead of focusing upon the trials of life, Jeremiah focused on the giver of mercies. He saw that God has a purpose in all of these things. And when he focused upon God, he knew God to be a God full of compassion. He knew that God was a God that would always be faithful, that God would never forget Jeremiah, that if God called Jeremiah to do something, even if that something was difficult, that God would provide the grace he needed to be sustained through those things. When he thought on those things, he had hope. It gave him hope. And folks, you know what? Here we are today. I'm sure that a lot of us experienced some sort of trial in 2025. Yet here we are. We're not consumed. Right? I'm looking out. You're here. We're here. Praise God. And I'm sure that there might have been times throughout the year and where you said, "How am I ever going to get through?" I can say that there have been many times like that in my Christian walk. And over the last 40-something years of my Christian life, there have been times where I know, I can remember saying, "God, there's no way I can get out of this." And yet, I'm not consumed. Here I am today. Same with you. That's how gracious God is. And when you think on that rather than the things that you thought would consume you, it gives you hope. It should give us hope in 2026 that God is going to be there just like he always has been. You know, typically at the end of the year, typically we want to reflect on the things that we've experienced throughout the year. Maybe you do this at home in your prayer life or in your devotion, maybe as a family, where you might reflect on the joyful things that you've experienced and maybe even remember the painful things also. But what Jeremiah is exhorting us is to remember that regardless of how the year went, regardless of the things that happened throughout the year that still want to sneak up and drag you down, regardless of those things, how it went for us, we need to focus upon and continually renew our trust in our God who is faithful. Believe that. He's faithful. Trust in that. Always keep in mind the end of verse 23. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that, don't we? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. You know that remembering that God is faithful will always give us confidence. It will strengthen us in this upcoming year. We don't know what to expect, but we know that God will be faithful. And then at the end of 2026, when we have another evening like this, at the end of 2026, we'll be able to say like Samuel in 1 Samuel 7:12, where he wrote, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." We're at the end of the year. We made it, but God helped us. He is the one that allowed us to get through. Folks, listen, every provision that God has given, every correction that he has given to us, every answered prayer, every manifestation of grace is an evidence of his loving kindness in our life. Every single, these are the things that we ought to highlight. I think sometimes we miss them because we don't think about them. But God is in control of all of those things. So we need to focus on his faithfulness and not our afflictions. No doubt, there'll be plenty of afflictions in 2026. You know, I'm not wishing anything on anybody. But the fact is that we will all experience the Bible's clear. The just shall live by what? God is going to put us through things where our faith is tested and where our faith is strengthened. All right. So there are going to be things that will try our faith. All right. There will be trials that we will experience. How do we get through those things? By focusing on his faithfulness, to know that he is in control. And so we need to get past and let go of those afflictions, folks, that we deal with, those things that plague us, that sneak up behind us and drag us down, are just like anchors pulling us down to the depths of despair. We need to let those things go, right? Recognize God was in that. In some way, God is in that. God doesn't create evil. But only God can take evil and use it for good. And that's what he does, because he's faithful. Don't keep rehashing those hurts. Don't keep rehashing those disappointments that discourage the soul. But as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, he said in verse 13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And what he's talking about, he's saying, I haven't arrived spiritually. Right? Even as the Apostle Paul, I don't feel like I have attained a level of spirituality where I can just rest now. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." That's key. Right? That's key for the Apostle Paul's progress forward. You think the Apostle Paul experienced difficulties in his life? I mean, he records only a few of those things, right? In several of his epistles. And none of us has ever experienced the things that Paul experienced. And yet, he's one that says, you know, "I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." It's very obvious where Paul's focus was. It was heavenward. He kept his focus upon the Lord. He put aside those things, forgetting those things. He chose to forget things in the past that were not profitable for his continued spiritual walk, right? He's not talking about just forgetting everything that happened yesterday. He doesn't want us to forget the glorious mercies of God that he has blessed us with over the years past. He doesn't want us to forget the lessons that we learn through the difficulties we experience. But what he wants to do is he's telling us to put aside those things that are not profitable, focusing on his faithfulness, but dealing with that guilt, dealing with that bitterness, dealing with that discouragement that those memories have the potential of triggering. That's what the devil wants to do, is to discourage us. How do we do that? By focusing on the prize. focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We have that tendency of making mountains out of what? Molehills, right? We can take it's a gift, right? We can take a little tiny molehill and we can make a giant mountain out of it, right? And we do that very well to our own discouragement. And what the Lord is telling us is that we need to focus on the mountain. Focus on the greatness of God. God is the one that can make mountains into molehills. And that's what he does in our lives. He takes great mountains and turns them into small things. You know, folks, God's grace keeps us from carrying yesterday's hurts into tomorrow. God doesn't want us to carry those things into tomorrow. But you've got to be preoccupied with him. Right? What does Solomon say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. As Pastor Jake mentioned last Sunday, the new year is a time to get our priorities straight. Right? We're coming upon a new year. We've had difficulties in the past. And you know what? Most of the difficulties can be seen because of our lack of proper priority. Right? We prioritize ourselves or our emotions or whatever. And we need to make the Lord our first priority when it comes to every aspect of our spiritual life. This year ought to be you ought to determine that this is going to be the year that you develop your greatest prayer relationship with God. That you really develop study habits and reading habits and the Word of God. That you would determine that you want to worship God in spirit and in truth. That you want to be obedient to Him and serve Him according to the gifts that He's given to you. That ought to be our desire. We need to want to put Him first and love Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have to determine to do this. And folks, when we do that, that'll keep our focus where it needs to be, upon Him. And we'll be victorious. And instead of letting our afflictions bring us down, our faith in God will give us hope. Hope is a wonderful thing in your Christian walk, to have this kind of hope. Now, none of us knows what kind of situations God is going to allow in our lives next year. We don't know what to expect. We have certain plans that maybe we're having. We have certain expectations that we expect, right, are going to happen. But we don't know what God is actually going to bring about in our lives. The future may be uncertain, folks. But God's promises are not. God's promises are certain. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." And these are God's thoughts toward us. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. You can expect God to get you to the end in peace. Now, the circumstances He allows sometimes may seem evil, but you have to take Him at His word. He says, "My thoughts are thoughts of peace." Know this, when you're going through those difficulties, this, if you were to rely on me, you could go through it in peace. My intent is never to bring evil into your life. You have to take God at His word. That's His promise. Folks, whatever 2026 holds for us, whether it's trials, whether it's triumph, we can go into this year with confidence. Knowing that our God goes before us. He is going to go before us. He has our lives already planned out. Again, verses 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Oh, that we could embrace that truth. And then verse 23. "They are new every morning." What are His mercies, His compassions? "Great is thy faithfulness." You know, as one year ends and another one begins, it's kind of like standing at the beginning of a dark hallway. My cousins used to live in an old tenement house in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Old house. I mean, there must have been like 8 stories. It probably wasn't, but it seemed that way as a kid. And they lived in the very top floor of this old, old house. And this house had giant hallways down it. The hallways were never lighted. And I remember as a kid, if my mom would say, look, would you go down the car and get something I forgot? You know, it's one thing to walk out of your front door and go to your car. It's a different thing to walk down 11 flights of stairs, right? And then to try to find your car and then to go back up and then to go down this very long, dark hallway to where their apartment was. But going into a new year, it's just like that sometimes. We're standing at the hallway, it's dark. And when you encounter a dark hallway, what would you like to see? What do you think you would do? You'd be feeling the sides, right, of the wall, looking for the light switch. Because I want to be able to see all the way in. I want to see the whole hallway. I want to see everything. But you know, God doesn't always do that, does he? God doesn't always light up the whole hallway. He just gives us enough light to put our next foot forward. And he wants us to trust that when you put the next foot forward, there'll be enough light. And you just have to keep stepping forward and forward, trusting that he is going to provide the light that we need. And what's that light? Thy word have I hid in my heart, right? Thy word that is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. As we step into the new year, we need not to step forward by sight, but by faith, trusting our faithful God who goes before us. And he'll be there. Whether you believe it or not, he's going to be there. But it's such a much more peaceful, wonderful walk when you believe it. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we do praise you for your loving kindness and your goodness. Lord, what a wonderful truth that you are always faithful. Lord, even Jeremiah, as he lamented the experiences, the awful experiences, and then related to us, Lord, how those things, when he dwelt upon the bad, just drew his soul down. But when he focused on the truth that you are faithful, that your compassions are great, Lord, it encouraged him and lifted him up. I pray, Father, as we look to this new year, that, Lord, we would get our priorities right. But, Lord, that we would put our faith and trust in you. That, Lord, whatever it is that you would have us to do, whatever experience that you might have us to go through, that we would recognize that you will go through it with us. That you will give us everything we need to accomplish. And I pray that in this upcoming year, we would honor and glorify you more so than we did in this past year. That you would receive the glory for all that's done. Lord, I pray that as we go our ways tonight, that you would go with us, give us safety, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.